Hold up now, take your time, let me get this right. You tripping on what's in front of you, cause you're looking behind you. You got memories, but take it from me, she ain't nothing like old girl you used to know. Shorty's doing right by you.
We're live, ladies, and it's episode 113. Welcome to Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. My name is, what is my name? Sojo. And I am joined by my co-host, Lady Buddha and Miss Think Pretty Smart. Here on a Tuesday evening. How are you all?
I'm good. I'm brown.
You good and brown?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You're not golden?
No, I'm nutmeg.
Nutmeg.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Smart?
I'm fine. Just nestled here in my bed.
Do we have beverages in the bed or no?
No, I don't have any beverages.
Just your pillow.
Girl, just my pillow and it's water.
Water counts.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, water. I thought you meant alcohol.
Anything to keep you hydrated.
Yeah, that's it.
Buddha, you got stuff with you or no? Did she go? Uh-oh, Buddha's on a new computer.
Yeah, so we don't know.
I don't know where she went. While she's getting her life together, I was telling y'all before we hit record that I was going to have moonshine tonight. I'm doing a smoothie, but I infused it with a little bit of moonshine as the beverage.
Uh-huh.
So that is what I'm doing. My smoothie has strawberries, bananas, and pineapples. So, oh, and a little bit of spinach. So, yeah, that's what I got going on.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot considering
some other stuff I know.
Right, what else is going on with my stomach? But like you said, it would just kill two birds with one stone. It's going to be my, will end up being my homecoming weight loss plan. Buddha, you back?
You know, I heard y'all just fine, so I don't know what happened.
You got beverages or no? Did you have time to...
Yeah, I got a big mason jar full of ice water and a double shot of port. Ha ha.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do we want to start with where you've been the last week, or do we want to do feedback first, or how you want to run this thing?
It's up to y'all. What you want to know? What you want to do? I'm ready for both.
Well, let's do the feedback first. Then we'll Then we'll get more info. Because you know Smart was talking bad about you last week.
I listened to all the shows. I know everything everybody said.
She did say you ain't going to listen to this.
Yeah, I heard her say that. And the problem, I couldn't share from my Stitcher app to Twitter. It wasn't letting me share it. So, but I was listening to both of them. Blah, blah, blah. At any rate, we got two... 5-star reviews, 2 new ones on iTunes, so that's exciting. The first one is from The Bridge 79, and The Bridge wrote, "I found y'all through the Black Guy Who Tips, and I've been here since you had me at hello." Ooh. All right, smiley face emoji. "Great perspective, and hopefully you will have me on your show someday." All right. The bridge. Tell me more. We need to know more about who the bridge is.
Right. Y'all can hit us up at feedback@whiskeywineandmoonshine.com.
Right. Yeah. Let us know. And this is the headline for that one was, "I love these ladies."
Yay.
And then we have one more. This is the headline for this one is, "Y'all doing it." 5 stars. And this is from Mr. SD. And he writes, "I actually started listening to you all through the grumpy old men over at Two Guys, One Show laughing at that."
Shout out to Rich and Wim.
I'm super tickled. I might not be able to continue.
Right.
Oh, goodness. "I am absolutely here for everything y'all dishing out. From Miss Smart's round the way pretty girl antics, # thug life, to Lady Buddha sprinkling her zen like fairy dust all over everything that calls for it." Aha. And let's not forget Sojo's energy. I never went away to school, but if I did, she's definitely the turn-introspective friend I'd hang with all day, laughing out loud. Ooh. Honestly, though, I tune in solely to listen to the thoughts and ideas and questions and jokes and types of liquors and wine y'all been introducing me to, y'all spew. As a Black man and a dad, I feel it's essential for us to flat out listen to what Black women have to say. It's imperative and essential to the growth of Black people. And I just want to say thank you for providing that opportunity.
Aww. That was very nice. He always hits us up on our Twitter page, too, so we might have to
I have seen him on Twitter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Smart, he said you did a really good job with the layout, too.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to screenshot and tweet that out. Thank you.
That was nice. Thank you, Mr. SD. All right, that was sweet.
Pass the word along, SD. Don't hog us to yours. Keep us to yourself.
That's right. Y'all can share our shows on Stitcher and iTunes and all of that. You guys can hit us up at feedback@whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. You can hit us up on our Twitter page at Whiskey Wine Moon, Facebook, all that good stuff. So we do appreciate the feedback, but we definitely read the 5-star reviews because it's really cool the stuff that you guys leave us.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some tweets about last week's show too, which I was actually, because you know we had Karen from the Black Guy Who Tips on First Lady Shout Out Podcast, Black Guy Who Tips, and we had her on last week for episode 112, Where the Ladies Dwell, and we started at Dollar General pregnancy test, and then and then ended up talking about the choice not to have children. And I was kind of wondering, like, you know, were we going to get some pushback or, you know, because we kind of got, you know, kind of real on the show. But, you know, then we started getting tweets from people saying, you know, thank you for the conversation. So that was cool, too. They hit us up on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, Karen said that you know, she doesn't eat all the healthy things and all that kind of stuff. And neither does Lady Buddha. I mean, I kind of balance eating, you know, good stuff with some bullshit. So, you know, I get my miles in, but I get, you know, that Ben and Jerry's ice cream cookie dough in too.
In between hydrating, motivating for a run, clapping to less. What's the?
Less Meals Pump is the barbell program. And,
bacon clapping.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All that good stuff.
Yeah, gotta keep it tight. You know, gotta keep it tight over here. You know, I'm in my 40s, plural now. So,
it's y'all remember when effort. I shared that picture of Elizabeth Taylor's 40? What was she, the cover of Life or something at 40? And she looked a hot mess. I might have to share that with y'all again, but she doesn't look like y'all do. I'm next month.
I'm about to say, you can play that y'all game if you want
to. Yourself real quick.
You know what, Smart? You made me realize that I was turning 40 when you tweeted the thing about the animal prints this morning.
Girl, listen. It was a rude awakening.
Y'all, she tweeted, what were you doing? You were getting your summer to winter clothes or whatever?
Yeah, I had started doing that. And Sunday? Yeah, Sunday I had worn some shoes that are leopard print. And as I was putting them on, I noticed I have a leopard print belt, a zebra print, maybe a cheetah or something, shit, I don't know, another belt like that. Then I have a couple of leopard print blouses, pajamas, and it was just like, how? and even worse, like on Thursday morning at work, I was looking for some type of leopard skin flats, and I had not remembered that I had the heels, and it just was a point for me where I was like, you know what, I got to get a fur this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
the official auntie, right.
Yeah, with the hat and everything.
And when you said it, I was like, oh, my God. Uh-oh, I have an echo.
Mm-hmm.
Testing. I realized that I had a whole bunch of, you know, animal print too, and I was wearing zebra and
sensible shoes.
Right, and sensible shoes. Because even Buddha was like, wait a minute, why aren't your heels as high as they normally are?
Because I've seen the whole collection in person. And And I know I didn't see nary a flat nearby that wasn't a tennis shoe.
Those were not flats. Those had saying, a little bit of a
neither were any of those other shoes I saw that were all 5-inch stilettos. So I'm not sure.
Listen, no, I have done all low shoes for like the last few months. I'm not even trying to play them games no more. But even like right now, my headphones are leopard print. So.
Wow. Well, I don't have any animals, and I'm the oldest, so I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, you're behind schedule.
Right. You know what? When she turns 50, that's when she's going to come.
Yeah, you're going to have to catch me in the next decade. I still got 7.5 years left. So
she's going
to
be coming in wearing iguanas.
You know what I haven't done, though? So I just assume me and my girlfriend used to love, my line sisters used to laugh about this and joke and say that we were going to be, you know, at 35 with the leather bedazzled Delta jacket on singing, you know, on the yard.
You know what?
And I sit without nary piece of leather Delta bedazzled jacket or leather pants or socks or sneakers. Like, I'm really behind the eight ball on that.
I have a leather Delta hat. It's not mine. It's my mama's, but I have.
That's not until 50, Sojo. You way ahead of schedule.
I stole it from her. I've never actually worn it out in public, but I have. I thought by now, because we're celebrating our, if y'all don't know, me and Buddha are line sisters, and this homecoming is our 20th anniversary. And
it means we pledged at the same time.
Don't know what lot, right?
Yeah, we found we had a lot of listeners who are like, I don't know what y'all talking about.
We pledged on the same line, so in 1995. But what did you think like this year was gonna be like? Like I thought, you know, when I thought we were gonna have like the shirts with the big letters, the big khaki.
I didn't think that, but I've never really pictured us as quote unquote older. Like, to me, we're just been ageless. So, you know, when I look at lines that were ahead of us, they always seem so much older than us. You know how, like, if we go back and look at old yearbooks, people who were 18 looked like they had full beards and full grown. Like, they just looked like they had aged farther along. So now that we are where they are, we're not them. Like, more youthful, so I wouldn't have pictured us not being who we are still, which is still pretty youthful in our late 30s and 40s. So,
you know, it's funny, last year was my mom's 50th, and then next year is my dad's 50th, and seeing them, even though they're older, like, you know, most of them are in their late 60s, early 70s, they still had that youthful gleam in their eye, like you could tell, because I've always looked through my parents' like college yearbooks and stuff. And you could still tell who was who.
Yeah.
And you could see, like, who did the shenanigans, who was still doing the shenanigans at 70.
Wow. Wait a minute.
That is true. Everybody does fall back into their roles. I even find that true with my high school friends when we get together. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. So I just, you know, I just never, I think when I thought about 20 years from now, I was thinking, oh, that's going to be so far away, and it's here, and it still feels like yesterday almost.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
It's so hard to say goodbye.
Although maybe not, because you know I was talking about not going out. I was like, I'm just going to go to the game, and that's it.
And that's okay.
And that is okay. And you know what? Standing in my truth, that's when I was like, you know what? All right, then.
Standing in my truth, this past weekend was Howard's homecoming, and I took off Friday and Monday because I know how this happens. And so Friday, it was cold and rainy, and then I just stayed home. And then Saturday, it was cold and rainy, and I just stayed home.
Me all day.
Right. And I'm sorry, what now?
So just stay and talk to me all day.
Okay, I thought you said bother me. And people were sending messages like, are you pregnant? Are you out of town? Yada, yada, yada. Because it was so, like, unfathomable. A bitch is tired. I'm not fucking tired.
But you know what? I was like, this is so unlike you. Like, you don't even have a plug. Like, you weren't even missing.
Girl, I went to brunch, and that wore me out right there. That's it. That's all I had. And I'm not even in any of the official brunch pictures.
See, so that you is know, just I found me a good
seat and set my ass clean the hell down.
That's why I was like, Buddha, SOS, do we need to check? The fact that I knew you showered let me know you weren't depressed. But it was unlike you.
Gosh, like, dude, can I, you know, every time people open their eyes, they don't have to see me.
You're the social cruise director, though.
Yeah, but you know what? You got to pass the torch sometimes, or people have to learn to step up for themselves. And obviously, they didn't, but that's another story. You know, left to people's own devices, shenanigans.
See?
Not anymore. Yeah.
Now, Buddha, you had some fun while you were off last week.
Yeah, woo woo. I was at the gathering of the Call Your Women Cousin Convention.
Okay.
We actually it started several years ago. One of my older first cousins, you know, kind of remarked that we weren't all seeing each other as much as we had when we were younger, and that, you know, our elders, including my dad, I think at that time, were starting to pass away. And so she wanted to be more intentional about gathering us together, you know, for more joyful occasions, and you can't really count on who's going to get married next. So, so she said, okay, well, I want to start hosting cousin conventions. And I wasn't able to go to the first couple. And then, maybe around 2009, I think she just contacted us all and said, I want to gift you all my favorite city in the world, Paris, and let's have our cousin convention there. And I'm like, well, I got to start with the introvert, busy, and all this other stuff. I got to show up. So at that time, she bought us plane tickets and paid for our hotels and, you know, got us museum tickets, and we literally did all the sights of Paris. And since then, we haven't really gotten together in a couple of years. And around December, she said, all right, it's time for our next cousin convention. This year, I'll pay for the housing. You all get yourselves there, and we'll do Portugal. So,
can I just stop you right there and ask, do we have to be blood related in order to get into this call your cousin? I mean, you know, if we've been friends since childhood, I feel like there should be some honorary.
I should jump
if you've been in a WhatsApp group for at least 3 to 4 years, I feel like you can be an honorary call your cousin.
Lady right. Buddha, y'all should jump her in.
They will. They mean. They will.
Well, I covet my spot as the youngest, so no. I'm the baby of the group.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. But yeah, we just we had a good time. The first time when we went to Paris, there were 7 of us. There were supposed to be 8, but unfortunately, one of the cousins actually passed away. She Yeah, so they knew it was going to be tricky, you know, getting closer to the date. We didn't know if she was going to make it, you know, be able to travel. But as it turned out, she wasn't able to, you know, she wasn't with us at all. So it was sad, but it also reinforced the reason why it was important to continue to gather that way. Mm-hmm. And so this year, there were 6 of us who went. We had one who couldn't come just due to work obligations, but she said she's definitely coming next time. But it was awesome. So I got my brown on a little bit. I had a couple of little physical challenges, so I couldn't lay on the beach as much as I wanted to. But it was a great time. So we bonded. We did a little bit of sightseeing around the city where we were, which was Sesimbra, which is a fishing town in Portugal. So we just had a good time. The locals were really nice, and, you know, none of us knew Portuguese at all. We all either knew Spanish or French in various degrees, so it was kind of fun trying to communicate with sign language and charades.
I thought you were about to say in shenanigans.
Yeah.
What was the best part about being there? Like, what stood out the most?
I think this time it was the fact that we were all able to be ourselves and kind of have our time together and apart. Because interestingly, just because of the way our, you know, there's lots of multiple marriages in the family. So a lot of us are not officially only children, but we grew up as only children. So a lot of us are also, we're all very independent. So we have a lot of, you know, interesting genes in common. But so it was kind of the ebb and flow of, let's all be together for this period of time. Let's all kind of go our separate ways and hibernate, you know, during this period of time. And it was a very easy ebb and flow to whatever you wanted to do. So if you wanted to go out, lay out on the beach, two of my cousins did that. If you wanted to explore the city, two of my cousins did that. If you wanted to stay home and sleep, you know, two of us might do that. You know, I had some work that I needed to do so I could look at beautiful views while doing it and then say, okay, I'm ready to shift gears. So this time was really nice. When we went to Paris, it was very scheduled because we did all the things. You know, we went to the Eiffel Tower, we went to the Louvre, we went, you know, all the sites. This time it was not scheduled at all. We didn't stay at a hotel, we stayed at a villa. What is it, Airbnb or one of those places like
Oh,
that?
y'all did Airbnb?
I'm not positive, but it's one of those. So it was, if it wasn't them, it was a, you know, some sort of an arrangement like that. So we rented somebody's house for the week. You know, so we had a little bit more freedom. So we, you know, bought groceries and there was a little bit of cooking as well as going out to eat. So it was just a nice combination of do what you want to do to meet your needs and all being, and, you know, kind of all touching base at the end of the day, each day. So. Yeah.
Yay. That
Nice.
sounds cool. And shout out to no rigid schedules.
Yeah. Amen. Woo.
Because sometimes you feel like when you go somewhere, you have to do everything. You have to stick on, I'm here for this amount of time. We've got to fill up this time with this, and this. And really, the point of a getaway or a vacation is to just relax and.
Exactly. Well, and that's kind of what we kind of came to now is that, you know, next time, wherever we go, because everybody was kind of picking out, okay, we want to do another place by the ocean. We want to do another place in Europe, that kind of thing, that we won't be scheduled. We liked it this way this time. So, yep.
That's cool. That's cool. And I'll be there next time. Please keep me posted on
I
future
will. We get like 9 months notice, so it's kind of no reason, you know.
Well, I mean, I really didn't have anything to talk about this episode except a couple of things that popped up. So I was like, well, we might as well kind of, you know, throw them out during the episode. And the first thing that happened last week was that People app came out
Yes, I forgot about that.
that's kind of like the Yelp review for actual people. So these two Caucasian women decided to create.
Why is it important that they're Caucasian?
Because I feel like the privilege, and I mention it for a reason, because I feel like the response to the app, their response to the app was very, it came from a place of you've never, it came from a place of privilege. But they created an app called People, PEEPLE, that was kind of like Yelp. And so what they were doing was, I guess they were taking people through them launching the app and everything they went through to create it or whatever. And so then they start telling people about it. And it's supposed to come out, I think, in November. But basically, what you're doing is you are giving people that you know, it could be like your coworker, it could be, you know, a mate that you had, it could be, I don't know, somebody who, you know, you went into at the store, you know, whatever. But you can rate them from 1 to 5 and do comments on them. And so, of course, you know, everybody was like, what the hell are you doing? Why would you even think about doing this? And they were just like, well, I don't see what the problem is. Like, what could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? Totally
Everything.
clueless.
What could
W straight
possibly go right?
right.
Because
Exactly.
the thing is, like, people aren't nice. Like,
People are not nice. No.
people aren't, and you know, contrary to, and I don't want people to stop giving us 5-star reviews because we love the 5-star reviews, but we also encourage people to give us 5-star reviews. Usually, a lot of times when people are going to review something, a lot of times it's coming out the place of I've had a bad experience, and oh, I get to vent about it, so I'm gonna vent about it you know, here.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of bad experiences, the Sprint store in Columbia, Maryland. Oh, I got your number.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we need a backstory with this.
No, I mean, I went there.
The ominous threat, and then...
Okay, so for those who don't know, if you are a Sprint customer and you're up for a re-up on your phone, or you own your phone flat out, they have this deal going for the new iPhone 6Ss. If you get the 16 gigabyte, it's $1 a month for the rest of the duration of forever. And every time a new iPhone comes out, you get one. If you want a 64 gigabyte, it's $5. Okay, a month. So, and you have to turn in your old 6 phone. Fine, okay? I went there in the morning, and as an aside, let me just tell this story right quick. When I went in the morning, I wanted a gold one to match my MacBook because, you know, I'm shallow like that. But they didn't have one, so I was thinking about, okay, I'll get a pink one because the accent color of my office area is pink. It's white and gold with pink accents. Anyway, so they didn't have that either. So I left. The girl was like, well, we just got a shipment in, but we haven't unpacked them. So at one point, she was going to my phone to see if I had put this up in the cloud. Of course I didn't, because really, who does? Anyway, so when I gave her my password for the cloud, she was like, oh, you're a Delta. And we started talking, and this little girl had gone to Morgan State University, an HBCU here in Maryland, and said it was too hard to navigate and transfer to a community college. So I immediately...
That Morgan State was too hard to navigate?
Morgan State, mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You know, the Panda bill and financial aid and all this kind of stuff. And so I immediately launched into Cool Auntie, and I gave her a bullet point rundown of why... she may want to give that another chance, highlighting, of course, that if she, you know, 20 years from now, when she needs a lawyer, in which I, you know, when you go to a black school, somebody will respond to you immediately with a lawyer, at least one or two or three people. Mm-hmm. Second of all, 20 years from now, whatever social media, 20 years from now, whatever social media there is, she ain't going to be keeping in touch with Becky and John. They ain't keeping in touch with her black ass either. And that's the truth, because I can go on Facebook right now and look at all of my friends who are like, oh, if I don't go to a white school, I won't know how to interact with white people. And it's so much better for the connections. And none of them motherfuckers, they all pledge black organizations. They all hang around a bunch of black ass people, and they all only communicate, only still into, because I'm petty and I went through their Facebook groups every time this conversation comes up to see how many alumni from the years that they were at University of Michigan, Michigan State, insert white school here, do they keep in touch with? And the sum total is usually less than 2%. Okay? They're not doing that. And then the third one, the other thing I told her is that, you know, it may seem like, you know, the school is disorganized, but understand this. Making it through that hurdle will prepare you for life in a way that other things will not. And
girl,
don't get it twisted. It's not just the black school or the black business. You can't work for black folks. Blah, blah, blah. They're disorganized. I've worked for many white folks and went to a white school for my last degree. They're unorganized. They're rude. They're all those things that people will leave a black school for. All of those things. So I told her, I said, you know, it teaches you, it helps you, you know, become just a better hustler.
That's real.
So
tough.
Anyway,
you tenacious, because you have to get yourself out there.
And not only that, I added, girl, you don't have no problems. When I was in school, it was like my second or third year before we could even call our classes in. I don't even hear, what are you talking about? It was second or third year before we could slide a credit card.
About that.
Registration line?
Yes, registration line.
That's true. Like, you had to at least, like, freshman year, you had to stand there, and you had to, you know, get a few more credits under your belt before you could actually call and register. But I forgot.
Right.
Yeah. He was just so amazed. She's like, oh, my God, you're giving me so much to think about. I said, look, your people didn't send you up here from Virginia for you to go to community college. And I know it's cheaper, so get your little credits. But understand, I said, you ever wonder why people who went to black schools have this affinity, whether they graduated or not? If they were there for 2 years, they down for the cause.
That's real talk, too.
There's a reason why. But there's also, and she had natural hair. And I said, you know what you won't get at an HBCU? You won't get nobody saying, can I touch your hair? You won't get nobody turning to you to be the black voice. You won't. So
tap in and say all kind of rude stuff in front of you, and then you got it. Yeah.
Yes. So that happened on my first visit. So she said to call back later, and then they will have gone through their shipments. I know this story is really winding.
I was about to say, I forgot it was the best part of this story.
I know. I was about to say, what this got to do with people? But go ahead.
So I called that store and around to other stores, and they didn't have them. And then I wasn't able to get in touch with the store in the mall, but I was going to the mall anyway. So I go to the mall and find out that the store has now become a kiosk. Okay, fine, whatever. So I walk up to the kiosk. There's a sign, be back in 10 minutes. Okay, fine, whatever, because only one person is working there. And when I tell you Ms. Vasquez or Valentez or whatever her damn name is, act like me being there was the absolute worst possible thing that could happen in her fucking badly built day, honey. So she tells me she can't give me the deal because she hasn't been taught how to ring it up. Now, I had to go take some clothes back because I went and I bought a pair of pants I already own, but that's beside the point. So as I'm walking around the mall, I call customer service, and they tell me, no, you can get that. Go back to her. She calls. It was a whole big thing, right? So I ended up leaving there. Okay, get my mall stuff, whatever, go to my dentist appointment and all this stuff. Go back to the Columbia store. It is absolute chaos in there. So I stand there, and I don't know whether they
think... In the mall itself or in that...
No, I'm out of the mall now. Now I'm in the strip mall.
Okay.
It's the Columbia location. On Dobbin Road, people. I just want everybody to know how piss poor it is. So I get back there, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Sprint store or been lately, but they have this check-in system. So I'm standing there, and this guy he's not helping anybody. He has his head down. He's just typing on his little tablet. He's got on a Sprint shirt. He never looks up and says, cat, dog, smell. I'm like, excuse me. So I leave. I was like, okay, I'm just going to come back. Maybe later it'll be better. Go there. Some guy checks me in. And me and this girl sitting there waiting, and we're, you know, more people coming, and somebody got called, and she was like, they came in after me. So she and I both get up, go to one of the counters, and we're like, yeah, so we were here, and then they weren't, and they're getting helped. What's the deal? So come to find out, the guy who checked us in never actually hit send, so our names weren't even up on the book. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the guy tells me, well, I mean, I could put you up on the board right now. What's your name? And I said, I said my name. And check it out. And I said, it's spelled S-M-A-R-T. And he cuts me off at the M and was like,
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He was like, I don't even know how to spell your name. I said, yes, you do, because how are you going to write it? You're going to write something wrong. They're going to call the wrong fucking name. Now, at this point, I am already heated because
it sounds like it.
Crowded in there, and he is one of those California white guys who probably was in a frat and isn't.
Why didn't you have to say he was white, though?
Wait. So, Joe, stop trolling.
She did.
Yeah, stop trolling.
You can tell she's heated. Hair. Just in the retelling, she's heated. Just retelling the story, and you go.
Yes, I am. Yeah, because I got to. Okay. Anyway, so I immediately turn on my heels and pick up my phone and call customer service because in my spirit, I know they have a telephone. I'm not a telephone number. A mailing address where I can send a letter to. Because you know, I keep a letter queued up for both good and bad. Okay, because the first girl, she's going to get a good write-up. So as I'm on the phone, this black guy walks past me, and I was like, okay, I still don't see my name there. And he was like, okay, wait a second.
I don't know how to spell it.
Huh? No, wait. He said, wait a minute, let me go see whatever. So he goes, whatever. And he comes back, and he said, well, how do you spell it? I said, well, look, I don't have my glasses on, and I don't know how he spelled it. And I pointed to the guy. The guy whips his fucking neck around and goes, I put her name in there 3 times. And I was like, I don't care how many times you put it in there. I had been called, and that mom and son came to hell in here after me. What's the problem? And so the black guy's like, no, you're going to be next, whatever. Black guy ended up not serving me. This other guy, Mike, ended up serving me. Also a white gentleman, very nice, on top of his shit, like boom, boom, boom. You know, 20 minutes, I was in, out, bam. But, and the customer service people did call me back today, but that's not satisfactory because I need a hard copied letter. I gotta get this address. And
You know, what you need is people so that you can get that dude. You can get him personally.
Oh, no, I have his name. And what I also missed was that I had asked Valeria's wannabe black ass if I could speak to the manager, and she tells me, oh, he's on break. I mean, I'm one of the supervisors. You know, she was one of the allegedly one of the supervisors, and she, too, never looked up at me. And I was like, bitch, don't think because you probably hop on every black dick you see that you about, we about to do this up in here. So I got her name. I got all that shit. I just got to get my letter together.
Y'all ain't never been on the receiving end of a smart letter.
Ooh, y'all think it's funny on Twitter, on the podcast, but.
Because I ain't nothing but, I got time and keystrokes.
See, this is why she don't need the people app. See, you see how heated she got.
Because right. You know what? You don't have to be. You don't have to be that you don't. Way. You don't. It was disorganized. Oh, I'm sorry. I also Yelp reviewed it too while I was sitting there. You don't have to be this way. You just don't. And if you give me good service, like the girl, you know, she was like, "Let me go in the back, but we haven't unpacked." I mean, like really. You know, thoughtful, and I'm adding Mike's situation in there, that he was, perfectly nice, the black guy was perfectly nice. It was Valeria and the guy who's allegedly checked me in, and then the second guy who allegedly checked me in.
Mm-hmm. But you see how heated she is. So imagine, like, with that people app, people going in to rate people, like, individual people. So that whole thing, and then the other thing is that with that app, it was 100% opt-in, meaning that, and basically what they said was that you could do, if somebody has your phone number,
mm-hmm.
they can leave the, you know, review for you or whatever. You have 48 hours to respond to it, to basically dispute it. You know, or whatever, but they never talked about what if somebody had your phone number and was able to, because you also have to, like, you know, opt in to get the bad comments published, or, you know, whatever. But what if somebody has your information, they can pretend to be you to get an account so that it right. can be published and it cannot come down. They said they weren't taking it down. It was just a whole bunch of fuckery with the app to begin with. And then when people started actually questioning them on it, they were like, well, I don't understand. You know, this is a possibly good thing. We can spread cheer with this. But people don't, you know, I mean, come on.
And let's be frank. They don't. They actually know it's not going to be cheerful. I don't know if you guys know, if you guys saw this article about these secret closed Facebook groups where these people are hazing each other to get in for a fucking Facebook group. These broads know the deal. Right. They know the absolute deal. And they're trying to disguise it under some, oh, we just want to be helpful and la-di-da-di-da. No, they know the deal. They want to sell people's names and make some ad money before they ask to get sued.
Well, irony of all ironies was that people started trolling them, and then they could not figure out how to delete the messages.
Oh, yeah.
And they could not figure out how to block people from leaving those messages. So they were asking questions like, how do we stop these comments from happening on our page? And people were like, you mean the same way that people can't stop the comments from your fucking app?
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. Maybe they didn't know any better.
They probably didn't. So I actually was pulling up the article because I hadn't seen it since last week. And I see an update where it says, after the internet backlash, People co-founder will revise her app to make it positive. And then it says, after a wave of internet outrage, she's decided to rethink the app's concept entirely.
I mean,
at first she was standing in her truth, talking about, we will not be shamed into submission.
So soon.
But now they are going back to, because people started doing petitions. I mean, just this whole thing. And then, you know, you really don't think about, like, the potential danger that's involved in that, especially for women. Because my thing was, you're a woman. You know, you really should think about how this could affect other women. Because, you know, this weekend, all three of us were privy to a situation where we saw somebody have a public breakup meltdown, which kind of got kind of scary.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to ask if we were going to talk about that or not.
We'll get into it in general. But, I mean, just thinking about something like that, like, that's the gateway into stalking, harassment. I mean,
mm-hmm. it's a tool that they would use. The beta male uprising, will use to harass women and people who are women friendly.
Well, since we're talking about the public meltdown or whatever, just to make a long story short for the listeners, we saw a guy acquaintance or whatever going through a breakup, having a very public meltdown. And the meltdown was to the point where he was internet harassing his ex or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, just constantly like sending her messages, you know, doing all these things. And at first I was thinking, well, you know, writing these whole, you know, long whatever. And at first I was thinking, okay, well, they just need to vent. It's over. It was all day, every day, still going on for days, still going on now for days and days and days and days. To the point where it was like, at what point do your real friends, like, intervene? I mean,
does the person have real friends?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
This is a pattern of behavior. The friends probably said something back in 1994 and again in 96, and they're like, F it now. I mean, this dude is doing what this dude does.
The other thing that kind of, you know, bothered me too was you talked about the beta male uprising. On the outside, and this is the scary thing too, is that on the outside in situations like that, normally you would think that that person would be somebody who's openly hostile and aggressive and blah 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 blah, but in this situation it was the quote unquote nice guy, you know, the one that's non-confrontational in public and, you know, all this, you know, other kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you get this complete flip where, you know, it's like, when you're thinking about like alpha men, a lot of times they get mislabeled because you're thinking of them as being very aggressive and brutal and all of this, but an alpha man in its true form is not unnecessarily violent. They're balanced, they're rational, they're protective, like kind of like Mufasa from the Lion King. But then I started Googling beta man or beta male, and I started seeing all these websites for beta men who wanted to become alpha men, and the lessons that they were teaching were so scary. It was like Tariq Nasheed on crack.
Well, let me just pause right here and let our audience know. So Sojo has this thing she does.
You know what?
Where she starts innocently enough down the road on a topic. Then 6 hours later, she is in her pajamas, still on YouTube, and somehow the POTUS and First Lady have become reincarnations.
No, for real.
Egyptian gods.
No. Barack and Michelle are King Tut's parents. That is what YouTube taught me this weekend.
Mm-hmm. And that was after a few hours she was down the conspiracy rabbit hole. So, you know, you guys are hearing this part, and it sounds really, you know, reasonable. Okay, if this is a topic, I'm going to go research it. But you don't understand how this spirals out of control so quickly.
Y'all never do an intervention on me, though.
Because we just don't try to work.
I just try to share information with y'all. But back to the beta male. Let's talk about Drake. Because I saw this on Twitter and it started to make sense how they were talking about how we don't need to be fooled by this new Drake, this bearded Drake, this bearded and buff, you know, snapping on Meek Mill Drake. Because quietly, when you really start listening to Drake's lyrics or, you know, whatever, he's that dude. Like, he's that guy who comes in at your low point and, like, you know, I just want to take care of you. I know you made bad decisions in your life, but I don't see all the bad shit that you did. But wait a minute, I can't stop thinking about you. Why you got to go there? You know, we broke up. Why we break up? I mean, you know, he becomes...
He needs clarity. He needs closure.
Hmm?
He needs clarity and closure and doesn't know how to do it in a constructive manner.
Mm-hmm. Or healthy.
Yeah.
Instead,
I'm just going to tag you in all your different accounts.
Man.
Publicly.
Yeah. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of beta men, it reminds me of that, what is it, Oregon shooter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who, have you guys seen him? Because to me, he looks like he's cut with something.
He
like,
is.
He is. Black. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's biracial.
Yeah.
Admittedly biracial.
Well, no, I mean, his dad is out there in public being a white man, and his mom
dad is out there in public being a white man.
His mom is clearly black. Like, his dad is something. Maybe he's Swedish or something. Like, he's, you know.
Okay, because
yeah,
I was like, because, you know, my vision is not all that great. And I was like, I kind of feel like there's some melanin peeking through. And he had a low haircut, which a lot of people do when they try and pass.
That's true.
So, yeah.
He had the freckles and all that. So, yeah.
Twitter had something floating by that said, should we blame his mother? Now, I didn't click on the link because I was like, nah, we're not going to do this today. You're not going to pin that on that black woman that this man and gone out there and killed all them people. Right. But the thing was, and I don't know if this ended up being a hoax or not, it ended up where that 4chan group, when the shooting went down, people started posting like screenshots from the day that it happened where somebody on their chat group was saying, you know, this is the time not to go to school or whatever. And then they were like, it's about to go down. It's the beta man uprising or, you know, whatever it was. And then when they actually saw in the news that it was happening, they were like, oh, shit, he did it. Go, dude, go. And somebody had put the comment, you know, over, you know, basically telling him how to do it. But the same people in that group ended up framing another one of their members, basically putting out that it was this guy. So this guy's picture and stuff were all on, you know, the news at first saying he was the one when he really wasn't the one. But when you actually go back and look at that 4chan group and some of the stuff that they were saying, that's when I started looking at the whole beta male, the way they link up online with each other, and they're actually scary as shit. Like, they form this force of rejected fuckery that, you know, can end up being very violent. You take these seemingly outside docile men who have this inner rage because they feel, you know, whatever. And I was watching, again, this weekend on YouTube, but they had this documentary on female serial killers. And what they were saying was that men have smaller orbital front regions so that they're less capable of controlling violent aggressions, according to that discovery, you know, thing. But I started thinking about when you get all that stuff together, it's like the perfect formula for fuckery, basically.
So do you think that, let me form this. I believe that no matter what the cause of the outburst, the violent outbursts are, there will come a time when somehow women will be to blame for this because we need to be nicer to these guys so they don't act out. It's going to somehow come to that. And I was going to ask before I had that epiphany, I guess, do you think that there's a precipitating event or set of events that causes these guys to do this, or is it that it's all made up in their mind, like they're imagining being dissed by women or by society, or does something really happen to them?
I mean, I think there's always going to be some kind of precipitating event, even if it is still all internal. Like, there's going to be some kind of straw. I don't know, you know, I was out of the country when it happened, so I didn't really delve into, you know, his story in particular. But, you know, it's always something, even if it's still on the inside, that is a trigger. So I don't know what his trigger was, but it was something.
So. I feel like in a situation like that, it's a combination of both. Like, yes, you may have the girl that may have laughed at something or not responded in the way that you felt she should, or, you know, or whatever. Maybe it was you wanting to be something that you weren't, right, and becoming angrier and angrier, right, that you weren't that thing. Or maybe you did try to pretend like you were and your cover was blown, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you make decisions.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of beta men that are out there living happily as betas. You know, in their own lane, you know, or whatever. I think it goes again to the power of choice and the power of and you not being able to handle who you are. And right, a lot of times when people aren't comfortable with who they are, they tend to look for external factors. I did this because something else happened to me, or I did this because you did this to me, because right, I don't want to look and say, you know, look within. So.
Well, that's my challenge with the whole concept of a singular focus on gun control.
Ooh, talk about it.
You know, because, and really kind of all broad conversations about security and war and peace and really anything like that. It's always this kind of reactionary thing about weapons and stopping people, but it doesn't really address the internal state. Mm-mm. And, you know, until you really address the internal state, whether it's mental illness or sadness or, you know, whatever it is, even at on a larger collective scale, you're always going to have someone who's going to figure out a way to be violent. Mm-hmm. And so that can be violence on a small, you know, on a smaller scale where I'm you know, mistreating the person who is closest in my circle, or violence on a larger scale where it's my classmates or my coworkers or a country. But, you know, whatever that is on the inside is really the key thing that we have to change. And it's interesting because Donald Trump was on the Sunday shows this week, and I was listening to a lot of people on the Sunday shows this week, and it's clear that they don't have a clear guiding philosophy for a lot of their politics. They're saying what's popular about certain hot button issues. But if you listen to them talk about domestic policy and them talk about foreign policy, they say some things that don't apply, that don't make sense. They're kind of contradictory. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that Donald Trump said that was kind of interesting, actually, was that, you know, people are mentally ill and they're just going to do something. And so however you feel about that as a statement about whether or not we should be responsible for gun control, the flip side of that is some of these same people who really do think that way have not been interested in mental health at all, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't talk about the fact that we have all these people who have mental health challenges and then also have access to weapons of mass destruction, because that is what a semi-automatic weapon is, mm-hmm. and then say, well, we don't have to take care of them on the other side. So right. Even though right now we do have mental health becoming, you know, on par with physical health, in terms of insurance, that's something that we have neglected all this time. So when we compare ourselves to all these other countries who have much lower rates of violence and have much better health care, you can't separate those two. So you can't just say, oh, take away the guns and it's always going to be over, because some of these other places, they got people throwing acid on trains and whatever else they want to do. And that's, so I'm just saying, and you just need to think about it from a deeper philosophical standpoint and not just whatever the...
But that's not a good soundbite.
But it's not, and it's also not a quick and easy solution. Like, people like to have solutions that are very simple. Oh, yep. If we take the guns away, people won't shoot each other.
Right.
But if you spend any time in these little, not just this whole 4chan beta male thing, but go into these racist hate groups, message boards, or right. you know, those things, you'll see that the yes. problem is a lot deeper, and a lot of times not even mental health
right.
related. It's just go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think part of it is about belonging, because if we yes. look back at like with Columbine, those are two boys. This was before the internet was really, really, we were walking around with the internet on our hip. And I think that while the internet has been great and it's brought a lot of people with good intentions together, it also allows people with bad intentions to yep. mobilize. You don't have to mm-hmm. find a militia group and learn how to camp. You don't have to, you don't have to like figure out which kid in your class is wearing the, you know, the black and painting his nails black to go right. hang out with and flirt with the idea we should do this bad thing. It's like you can log on the internet and immediately find people who are into the bad shit that you want to be into, and then you feel like you belong. And
you that's do. That's what all the white supremacist terrorist groups do.
And that's why I don't think that people really, really, really want a solution, because they are actively ignoring that this is taking place and it's more popular now than ever.
It's mm-hmm. real popular.
I mean, because these aren't okay, 4chan, yeah, you do got to go hunt to try to find some of the crap that they do. But a lot of this stuff, Google, it's wide out in the open. Or mm-hmm. hell, look at a comment section on just a regular... Yeah. you know, news posts, and that where they're directly related to people's public Facebook pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and, And you can profile right there. Like, I mean, it's not rocket science. But again, it's people are being willfully ignorant, or they'll stand up at the podium and give these blanket answers that seem to pacify folks that just, again, want that quick and easy solution. So I always kind of tap out of the gun control debate, and I don't do like the whole blanket retweets of the, oh, yeah, we gun control, blah, 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 because it's bigger than that.
Well, but that's true of all societal issues, though. School, gun control. I mean, there's nothing that isn't more complex than the simple solutions people throw out on a Twitter feed.
Right. Yeah, gun control isn't going to happen. There's a, I think I actually posted it as well, this little meme. I think it's John Oliver, Colbert, one of them, who said, you know, some guy unsuccessfully tries to blow up a plane with his shoes, we all have to take our shoes off. A classroom full of children get killed, and, you know, all these killings happen, and nothing. Like, you know, it's, and to your point, an easy solution is what people go for. Mm-hmm. You know, oh yeah, just have everybody take their shoes off. That's going to solve everything. No, it absolutely doesn't. I mean, people still hate this country. People still, you know, want to pull terrorist things, domestic terrorism and whatnot. It's just people want the easiest route, and most of America can't conceptualize that there isn't a simple solution to guns.
Right. To gun violence. And they want somebody to tell them what the solution is, as opposed to going and trying to actually try to figure out, hey, this is a big problem. What are all the components? It's just like when they're going, like now the whole bullying thing is trendy and popular now, and a moneymaker. So you're labeling everything as bullying, as opposed to breaking down what actual conflict is and conflict resolution is. You're just lumping everything into bullying.
Yeah, that's cyberbullying. I feel cyberbullied right now, Sojo.
And there's a program for that you can purchase for $2,000.
And what color? What's the color for bullying? I forget.
Ribbons and, I mean, you know, everything, but again, nobody wants to go through and actually break that whole thing down and try to solve it in pieces, you know, because it's easier to just, we've got this problem and we've got this solution here. I'll sell it to you. But we're coming up on the hour. Do y'all have any cheers or any wrap-up stuff or anything on your hearts and minds that we didn't bring up today?
I do.
Go ahead.
So the first one is about the textbook in Texas.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Where, you know, was McGraw-Hill had to come out and say, you know, we're going to change what it says. It labeled slaves as, called them workers. The mother who first put this online, her name is Ronnie Dean Burren, I think. And what was so amazing to me about this story wasn't that, you know, social media got a hold of it. It was that her son is the one who called it to her attention. So that baby is woke. That's the first one. The second one, actually I have three. The second one, I want to shout out the debate team, that the prison debate team that Bard College Prison Education Program, actually, their debate team beat Harvard.
Oh, so, beautiful.
Yes, so that's my second one, because we're often, you know,
Great debaters,
exactly. And then my third one is a woman, her name is, and I'm sorry, I got to pull it up because I closed my screen. Her name is Amina Mucciolo. She is a crafter and a designer. She makes handmade crafts and stuff for people. And she is, I think, out of California. And she has a, Instagram page, Studio Mucci. And I like her because she is just so happy and whimsical. She has like these pastel braids in her hair, and everything is really all in soft colors. And as an aside, she is a bigger sister, and she rocks it, because I'm so sick of people assuming that if you're not a size 6, that you can't be a fly beast. And she's not afraid to, like, wear shorts and all that kind of stuff.
Love, oh, I'm love, looking love. At the link. Okay.
Yeah. cute as a button, pretty.
Yes, she's doing it, girl. Doing it with the two piece.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. So those are my three. I make up for the weeks that I have nothing.
Well, where can they find you?
You guys can find me actually tomorrow on Black Guy Who Tips, because I'll be doing their Walking Dead review with them for the, I guess, the season finale of Fear of the Walking Dead. But outside of that, you can catch me.
Wait, can I just say I've been waiting forever for you to do one of these Black Guy Who Tips mashups of Walking Dead? Yes, because you are the zombie apocalypse team captain. So I have been waiting.
Well, I just want to make sure we're all organized with our supplies. That's all.
I'm really going to try to get off work early. So.
I'm prepared. You know, it's going to be tomorrow at 7, so be there, be square. I am on Twitter at think_P_smart. So feel free to hit me up. Boo.
Speaking of boo, Buddha, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at NDCHARP. I'm pretty decent about responding to tweets, even though I don't actually tweet a lot myself right now. But I'm kind of trying to get back into the game. But hit me up sometimes, and I'll hit you back. So NDCHARP. And you can also visit my website at cocostudio.com. That's C-O-C-O studio singular, cocostudio.com. What about you?
Cheers and stuff. Wait, you got cheers?
I don't really have cheers. I'm going to just shout out my cousin Avis for putting family first and also, you know, supporting us financially so that we can all come together in amazing places. I know probably she's going to wean us off, so the next time it's probably
girl, I was just about to say cousin Avis.
But, I really appreciate that she gives us these memories. So shout out to Avis and my cousins who are genetically my sisters and kind of funny to be around and see.
I'm changing what about you? His name tomorrow to Collier. So Joe Collier. I have two cheers. My first cheers is to Amber Rose for this weekend's sled walk. I know it sent social media into kind of like this tailspin, but white women have been doing this slut walk thing for years, and
they have.
Mm-hmm. She made it a safe place for black women to kind of, you know, basically do the same. But what really got me was when they showed the clip of her speech, and she was talking about how her, you know, ex Wiz broke her heart when they broke up, and they made that song, or he made that song lyric where he said he fell in love with a stripper but fell out of love quicker, and she kind of broke down crying when she was talking about it because it still hurt her. Because when we saw them, we know that, you know, they looked like they were in love. She loved him. She supported him in doing, you know, whatever. So for him to reduce her to a stripper, you know, and that's the mother of his child and all of that. And then, you know, for Kanye to basically say, and I had this quote that he said, it's very hard for a woman to want to be with someone that's with Amber Rose. I had to take 30 showers before I got with Kim Kardashian. you know, she made the hashtag fuck your 30 showers. And so I wanted to give her cheers for that because it bothered so many people, but it seems like most men are only in favor of a woman being sexually liberated if it benefits them. So when she was basically, you know, on the red carpets with them or being their muse or, you know, whatever, it was fine. But as soon as they were done with her, then, you know, all of a sudden they wanted to dog her to the world. So, you know, I've started blogging again, so my website is sojoxo.me, and one of the things that I said was, you know, it's kind of frightening to people when you take the power away of the taboo of sexual expression, because mm-hmm. you don't have anything to hold over a woman anymore. Mm-hmm. And so once you don't have anything for anybody to take away from you, then you basically take back ownership of your dignity. So I did want to, you know, give her cheers for that. The other cheers I wanted to give was to Caden, and his name is spelled C-A-Y-D-E-N. The hashtag is his name is Caden, and he's a little fella who ended up on this dude's Facebook page, where this white guy took a picture, a selfie of himself, and a little black boy was in the background. And when he put the picture up on his Facebook profile, all of his friends started saying all these racist comments about him. They call him feral because he's deaf and mute. That's what we ended up finding out about him. They called him, you know, called the guy slave master, all this stuff with a kid, you know what I'm saying? And that happened to be his coworker's child. And so everybody kind of pushed back on that. The guy got fired. I think a couple of people that were making the comments got fired.
Wait, let me ask you something, because I skimmed this. The guy who posted it, he didn't actually caption it or post any comments.
He didn't post anything at first.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then the first comment that was on there said, "I didn't know you were a slave owner." Then somebody else said, "Help feed this poor child today." Then somebody said, "But massa, I didn't do nothing." Then somebody said, "Dude, where the hell did you get a black kid?" Then somebody said, then he responded, "The black market." Somebody else responded, "The black market." Then he called him feral. Now, the little boy is deaf and mute, but you're calling him, you know, a wild animal. Somebody said, send him back. Dude, those fuckers are expensive. Then somebody else said like 25 cents a day. So it went on and on and on and on.
And then some other person who was his Facebook friend, what, screenshotted it?
Yes.
Yeah, good. And that's what they always miss.
Yeah, and then ended up being, you know, the boy's mom found out. So, I mean, but he got fired. A couple of the commenters got fired. But I wanted to give a shout out to Kate and give him my cheers because I just want him to be a carefree black child. You know, they don't often get to just be careful. Like, he was just standing there. That picture, he was just there. And you're not knowing that this dude is putting up, you know, a picture of you.
And you know what? If I was skimming through someone's Facebook feed, through my Facebook feed, and I saw that picture, I would be thinking, like, the guy is saying, "Look at my little buddy. You know, this is my dude, Caden." But I will say, in a group that I'm in, someone logical pulled me into this group. There was a comment where this guy said this wouldn't have happened if he had a father.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'll just leave y'all with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, cheers to Caden, because you don't have to. Yeah, I don't want that to define him, because you know how the internet goes. It ended up being a good situation, but that picture of that baby is going to be on the internet forever. Mm-hmm. So I just want him to go back to being a carefree black child. So cheers to him. You guys can find me on Twitter at SOJOXOXO, and my website, like I said, I've been enjoying having the site again. It's SOJOXO.me. You all can find us collectively at whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. And please check the actual website, because Miss Smart really did do a really good job with it. But you all can Google us and find our Facebook page. Our Twitter page is at whiskeywinemoon. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all that good stuff. Leave us 5-star reviews, send us feedback, blah, 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 blah. but until next time, we'll catch you later. Cheers.
Cheers.
Trying to fight you on this, oh, and I remember, no. Remember I told you, what you say, hard head.